Santa Cruz School to order. We're going to begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any agenda deletions, additions, or changes of sequence?
None this evening.
Superintendent's remarks? All right, public comment. Is there anyone who would like to speak at this time?
Sorry. I was expecting this to take longer. Ready for this?
Yes, please, just slide in.
And just push the button up, then as you begin to speak, it'll come on.
Okay, well, good evening. My name is Maria Dara, and I'm a board member at the Santa Cruz High PTA. And I'm here tonight to ask the board and the superintendent to work with us to allow SAT prep classes to take place at Santa Cruz High this fall. SAT prep was offered for years at Santa Cruz High. It ceased about 6 years ago, and the PTA was approached last fall and asked to sponsor SAT prep classes on campus, but we were told this was not possible for a number of reasons. We were told that classes offered by a for-profit group were not allowed, could be allowed if they asked for donations instead of charging a fee. They were required to be offered in English and Spanish. They were essentially inequitable and banned, and that they were opposed by the ACLU. So anyway, as you can imagine, we're still a little confused as to what the actual district policy reasons are for not allowing these classes to take place on campus. But, I mean, and I would just say, for instance, you know, the SAT test itself is allowed to take place on campus. They charge fees, they don't offer it in Spanish, they don't have to pretend to take donations, and the district, you know, the school actually participates in publicizing these tests. And regarding equity, the PTA covered full scholarships for anyone who asked for one last year, and we're prepared to do that again. And we're able to do that because this test prep is actually a huge bargain. It's run by a group of public school teachers who are doing it as a sideline. And while, you know, the College Board is a nonprofit, I just have to point out that the president of the College Board makes $1.3 million a year. So it's kind of nonprofit. I think everyone would love to work for it. So this test prep group that we're working with offers classes at Lindbergh High, Mountain View High, Los Altos High, Cupertino High, Fremont High, Terra Nova High. There have been no complaints by the ACLU or anyone else, and I just can't imagine why this would be a bigger problem than Santa Cruz High. So the gist is, we would really like to offer these classes on campus so they're more accessible to kids, so they can get to them without having to travel. And we'd really like to work out any policy concerns to see if we can make that happen. You know, I would ask you to consider this promptly because the prep classes are being scheduled already for fall. And the interest is really sky high because of the new test. And, you know, this is an invaluable service for kids. So I just, and I, on a personal note, I'm just going to mention that my own daughter added 120 points to her SAT math score by taking prep class. It really put her in line for, you know, much easier ride to college, and I just would really like to see more kids be able to take advantage of that. So
Maria, like I explained to you last year, mm-hmm. there are guidelines and laws we have to follow, and there's been more scrutiny of those programs and practices, and we were breaking the law in the way we were doing it before. So we're happy to explore with the PTA if they're willing to sponsor the class, but we have to meet the guidelines of the law. And Angela, I know would be willing to meet with you to walk you through all the pieces we have to have in place. And you know, it's a great offering. We wish we could afford to offer it for free to all our kids.
like PCS and Carmel Highway. I know, we would love to see that too.
But we don't have the resources to do that right now.
Yeah. But I still think the piece that I don't understand is why other schools are able to do this and we're not.
And I don't know what exactly they're doing, and I don't know if they're following the law, but it's important to us, and we are absolutely committed to follow the law. So, and not every district necessarily does. So we just want to walk you through those pieces and what would need to be in place for us to do it accurately.
Okay, I would love to take advantage of that. I'd like to set up a time to talk. Okay.
Thank you.
Marie, how do you spell your last name, please?
It's G-A-U-R-A.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? And we're going to move on to the superintendent's report.
So good evening. Tonight, I want to celebrate that this is our first official paperless board meeting, and I know it's a work in progress and that we're all learning, and I want to ask everybody out there to be patient with us as we are now working electronically. Yes, Nancy?
I just want to say that I think everybody, in order to keep your app up and running without logging you out, do follow along with our agenda. Open documents as we come to them. Do something inside the app. Because if you don't use the app for a few minutes, it will think you're idle and log you out, and then you're going to spend a lot of time logging back in. So follow along and open the documents as we go through. Thank you.
Thank you. So again, I'd like to thank you all for your patience as we make this transition. I could say that editing the board book was much easier this way. So that was an interesting, as we went through building the book. Summer hiring, we talked a little bit before we got started this evening about the 58 certificated summer postings we had. I want to really thank our HR team and for all of their amazing work on recruitment, both in the spring and in the summer. We still have 6 positions open that we're working to fill before school begins. I also want to commend the facility and custodial team that have been hard at work to make sure that our campuses are in good shape for the opening of school. Extensive work has been done on elementary fields, all kinds of work across the district, and you'll hear some more in the facilities update this evening. This summer, I was able to meet with a lot of people, spend time connecting with community leaders. I got to spend some time with our new Santa Cruz Fire Chief, Jim Frawley. He's very interested in collaborating with the schools, taking an active role in our safety plans and drills, bringing curriculum and after-school and enrichment programs to our campuses as well, the opportunity for us to collaborate with them in a way we haven't necessarily been able to in the past. We had a Santa Cruz County College commitment retreat in July. The steering committee met to review our vision, mission, and goals for the countywide commitment to ensure students are both ready for college and career. Part of the retreat was a review of our Gates Foundation planning grant application, which we should be able to announce officially on in the next week or so. The Gates Foundation planning grant, in the spring, I shared the letter of interest that was submitted to the Gates Foundation for a grant to support countywide implementation of Common Core. We were invited to submit a $150,000 planning grant in July, and we will be able to make an official announcement on that very soon. The grant's going to mean an opportunity for us to spend 6 months including teachers and community and other people in looking at what the needs are for implementing Common Core. And I think the most important part is going to be the needs assessment that we do with our teachers across the county about what they see as what needs they've had met in terms of Common Core implementation and what needs are yet to be met. And there are a lot of needs. It's a huge transition. Resources are needed, and we're excited that this is an opportunity. After the planning grant, we have an opportunity to apply for a countywide implementation grant for up to $1 million to support teachers and support the work. So we'll be convening a teacher advisory committee from representatives across the county to begin to explore what kind of professional collaboration and learning would be beneficial, and we're looking forward to that. I was also able to meet with Tamara Taylor, the superintendent in Live Oak. The articulation that we believe that the Gates Foundation grant will open up for us, we also have been working on one-on-one between members of our district team and our feeder district teams. And Tamara and I both remain committed to refining our collaborative efforts on behalf of kids. I've also had an opportunity to meet with Superintendent Castaneda, and we're continuing our conversations about how we ensure smooth transitions and opportunities for students to be successful. I attended Santa Cruz Rotary Club as a guest of Dr. Laurel Jones, Cabrillo College president, in July, and Dr. Jones is going to be sponsoring my membership in Rotary this fall.
Sundays?
No, I'm going to be doing the Santa Cruz Rotary. Angela is going to be joining the Sunrise Rotary. I was able to attend Bill Monning's focus group conversation on education this last week. Senator Monning met with educational leaders at the COE here to discuss local issues in education, and I had an opportunity to share with him our needs and concerns about the new local control funding formula. We have been in training for the last 2 days, and we'll continue to have meetings and trainings over the next week. The week opened with the County Office of Education hosting Horatio Sanchez, who shared his work on brain-based research and creating school climates that close the achievement gap. Yesterday, our school leaders worked with Paul Bloomberg on supporting effective professional learning communities. Paul's going to return and support our skill leaders as we move into next week. Tomorrow, Eileen Brown, our Director of Student Services, in collaboration with the SROs, will be leading the district leadership team in review of our safety protocols. And then in the afternoon, we'll be meeting the team to review our focus and goals for the school year. Next week, we have training with teachers and staff. It's a busy time as we're gearing up to welcome our students back. On the 24th, on Monday the 24th, very early at 7:30, we're going to have our welcome back breakfast co-sponsored with our bargaining units to welcome our teams back to the school year. It's a very informal event, and cabinet and some board members that can attend will be serving breakfast that morning. So please, if you can be there, we welcome all of you, and I understand that timing doesn't work for everybody's schedules. School then opens on Wednesday the 26th, and we're going to try something a little bit different this year. We're asking district office staff to go out and provide support at each of the school sites to put some extra bodies in hands to support with questions and providing directions for new students and families out at each of the school sites. We're looking forward to the first day and having our students back at the start of the school year.
Thank you. And now, board reports. Dee Dee, would you like to start?
I have no report.
Okay. Jeremy?
School boards probably can't be neutral in terms of a community, even if they tried. They can make relatively no news when things are running smoothly, but they can't be neutral. And I'm just thrilled to state, for the record, that I think the school board made an absolutely positive contribution to the students and parents and the city of Santa Cruz last year, and I commend all those who participated in making that contribution. I really, really look forward to doing the same this year. This city, this school, is in great need of a renaissance. We've made a great start by reaching out to our wonderful certificated. I hope we continue to do that tonight, the management with cabinet. And that also includes other schools in the district. And it is my great, great hope that we bridge the bridges that need to be bridged. And we continue to be generous of spirit and understand that this community really would like to come together in so many ways. And the school board can't be neutral. And I think if we continue what we did last year, we'll continue to make a very positive contribution to everyone in this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
I did spend some time following through with our conversations amongst community members and those who care about what happens in city schools. And actually, all of those people are people who care in our community, period. So that has been wonderful. They've given me ideas and things to ponder and bring forward. I would like to say to this administration and all that are here that I am very happy with the tone of all that have come forward. They're happy to see the progress that Jeremy speaks of in the board, and I'm very happy to be part of this board and for all of those who are giving their ideas. Thank you.
No report.
Okay, Sheila?
Well, I would just say I agree with Patty. I'm happy to be here this year. I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy to work with the administration and the board. And I think that the events of the summer have brought to my mind my ongoing concern about mental health issues and student safety. I've been doing a lot of reading, and I discovered that I could have a lot of fun sending articles back and forth with Angela and Chris. And I'm really happy to work with administrators who have this also as a major concern of theirs. So I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to increase our sense that we're helping our students who have more emotional difficulties or social difficulties this year.
Okay. Thank you. I've been going to board meetings at Delta and board study sessions. The big news there is that they are going to have no cell phone use during school hours, teachers or students. And so we'll see how that goes. It was brought forward by one of the teachers who read some studies about how even if the phones are turned off, they're still distracting to the students. So we'll see how it goes for them. Our next item is the approval of the minutes. We're going to begin with the minutes of the meeting on June 17th. Is there a motion?
Move.
I can second. Okay.
Jeremy and Patty.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? The minutes for the study session on July 20th.
Move approval.
Patty moves.
Second.
Dee Dee seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
I wasn't there.
Okay. And the minutes of the regular meeting on June 24th.
Move approval.
Okay, Dee Dee moves approval.
Second.
And Patty seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we're moving on to the consent agenda. Are there any items that board members would like pulled for discussion?
The purchase orders, that's an item, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 8.1.3. I just have a couple of questions. So I'd like to pull it for some questions.
You'd like to pull that 8.1.3?
Yeah.
Okay. Any others? All right. Is there a motion to approve the other items?
Move to approve.
Allison moves. Second?
Second.
Patty seconds. And it's a roll call, so Dee Dee?
Aye.
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 Aye. And now 8.1.3, purchase orders. Sheila?
Okay, now this is going to be a little bit confusing because I'm the person that's having a really hard time with not having paper in front of me. And so a few of these, I can't find them in paper. So, Jim, you might be able to help me with my questions. I can't find them here, but I saw them online.
I have them here, too.
So, it's just some questions that have to do perhaps with information that I would like to have in the future. One is the Abright organization, the MPA. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, is that new? Is that a new organization?
No, it's been in existence, and we've had contracts with them for every year that I've worked okay. at the central office.
So somehow it seemed like a new name to me, but I was just interested in being able to get some more information about them.
Mm-hmm. Because
I noticed that sometimes we have to have a whole specialist for one child, and I'm trying to figure out this role.
They're an ABA provider for kids with autism.
Right. Yeah, I just wanted perhaps a little more information about who they in particular are.
Okay.
With the medical billing, I know what this, I mean, the Medi-Cal billing?
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is, but I was just curious. I had never seen the $75,000, or I'd never noticed it. Is that, we still make a lot of money off of it after we've taken off $75,000?
We aren't making as much as we were in the past,
uh-huh.
But we still recover dollars through Medi-Cal billing. Angela can probably speak more specifically to this, to what we anticipate we'll have in revenue for Medi-Cal this year.
We're looking at our reimbursables hovering more around $156,000 a year. We had some some back payments that came in that artificially bumped us up, but we think on a yearly basis it's more around $156,000.
Okay. All right, thank you. And then somewhere I saw the unrestricted list, but I can't find it now. And on it was Title I expenses. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
I'm sorry.
Have you got it there?
No, I don't see it.
Is that was on the over 2,500?
Over 2,500.
Well, that's a problem. Is it doesn't seem to be showing up? But I read it online when I was at home.
Well,
so my question is, when we have Title I expenses listed, can we have a better idea of what they are? When we have this kind of purchase
absolutely.
Order?
Yeah, I'm sorry,
okay.
I'm scrolling through looking for that expense as mm-hmm. well.
Do you think it might have been on the warrant register or the budget transfers and not the other?
I looked and I couldn't see it, but I didn't have enough time to look really carefully, so perhaps I just missed it.
You know, our Title I expenses should all be part of the single plans for each school. So if we don't have that available right now, we can bring it back.
Okay, that's fine. I would just, in the future, it's like information I'd like to have. And maybe you're right, Nancy, because the other one was that I couldn't find was the interns, the supervision of the interns. And would that have been under something else besides this?
If I'm not mistaken, the item for supervision of interns came forward at the last meeting as part of the contracts. So probably it showed up on your warrant register now as an expense that was paid out after you approved it.
Yeah.
So
it was just, it's
it might have been on your warrant register or your budget transfer.
Okay.
I haven't actually scrolled through those, but
right.
I'm thinking that you might have seen that they are not really on this PO.
It's just a simple thing of it doesn't say how many hours. It says how many interns. It says how much per day or something like that. It doesn't say what we're paying for, and it's $24,000. So I wanted to have the hours.
We can speak to what that is. We pay, it's a fee that
yeah.
we pay for the oversight of all of those interns, and there's a required amount of hours for each of them. And it's a really good deal for us to get that supervision at that rate.
Yeah.
yeah.
Seven interns at our schools, and 20 hours a week for the school year.
Okay. So it's just that kind of figure helps me to be able to, you know, understand. I knew what it was. I wanted to know how much we were paying for it. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it.
Would you like to move approval of the item?
Oh, I move approval. Good.
Second.
Okay.
Sorry, who was the second?
Allison.
Thank you.
Okay. And it's a roll call.
Oh, aye.
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 Sheila,
would you like to read the gifts? No?
Oh.
Here
we go.
Can you find them?
They're right here.
Okay, so she just locked it. All right. Isn't that nice? We would like to announce the gift, yes, for Westlake Elementary School received from Mr. Dan Heller, $1,500 for the school library. And Soquel High received from Mr. and Mrs. Wagner, $200 to the David Cox Scholarship Fund. And so we thank them all for the gifts.
And thank you. Patty, report from closed session.
The Board of Trustees took action on certificated, classified, and management leaves, retirements, resignations, and appointments. The Board of Trustees heard an update and provided Assistant Superintendent Molly Parks with direction regarding SCCCE negotiations for the 2014-15 year. The Board of Trustees reviewed Superintendent Chris Monroe's annual goals and objectives, and the Board of Trustees conferred with legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation. We did, but we will be returning to closed session on that matter after. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, the next item is a staff report on expulsion data.
Thank you very much. So tonight I'm taking advantage of the time of year to recap our work with students in the past year, and particularly looking at our expulsion data. Tonight what I'd like to do is, although all of you on the board have heard from me about each individual student that was brought forward for an expulsion, I'd like to share with you our district profile, both for this year and for last year, and look at some patterns within that. And then finally, to talk with you about the report that I'll be bringing back in the spring with our plan to reduce the number of expulsions district-wide. But I want to begin by saying that there are some offenses for which we recognize there's very little that the school could do to anticipate a student who is making the kind of decision that creates an unsafe environment for themselves or others. And there are events where we think we can do more to catch early on, to really identify what are those behaviors, what are those indicators that the student is letting us know that they need a different level of support. So I'd like to begin by, how would I advance the slide?
I just brought it to you.
So just a quick reminder of the mandatory recommendations for expulsion. And these are the events for which a principal and their team will bring forward a student. If they're in possession of a firearm, brandishing a knife really covers everything from pulling a knife out and showing it to showing it in a threatening manner. Selling controlled substance, sexual assault, and explosives. And then there's a second category, which is the mandatory recommendation unless inappropriate. And this allows for the administrative team and for the board to really look at the context. So causing serious physical injury except in self-defense, there are situations that we have seen where a student is unaware, does not intend to cause harm, but in the moment does cause harm. So I wanted to pull that out as an example of a principal and their team may not recommend expulsion, may recommend a different form of response. But the other items that there are mandatory recommendations, and the team is required to look more closely at the context in which they occurred. As a principal of an elementary school, it was not uncommon for a kindergartner to commit some of these, particularly, uttering threats. We always looked at where we were in the day with that kindergartner and what that trigger was, and worked appropriately with that student. In the last 4 years, what we'll see is if we look just at, I think that color is red, the red bar is first the total number of expulsions. And so going back to 2011 and 12, we have reduced the total number of expulsions. But I want us also to look at the recommendations for a suspended expulsion, which is the yellow, and the green, which is the number of students on a suspended expulsion who met their contract. So as you know, this past year I brought to you 13 recommendations for a suspended expulsion. This is a situation in which a student has committed one of those offenses for which we would recommend expulsion. And the administrative team recommends that we suspend the expulsion Typically, we are transferring that student to another school, or they may stay within the same school on a very tight contract. So in the past year, we made that recommendation for 13 of the 20 students recommended for expulsion. And of those 13, 12 met the contract. And if we look back over the past 4 years, the gap between those recommended and those who met the terms of their contract is pretty narrow. It's usually between one and two students. We also, as a district, always look at our subgroups. Anytime we're looking at data, we want to make sure that that what is occurring in all of our groups. And what you'll notice here is that there's been an increase over the 2 years in the number of expulsions for Hispanic Latino students, and a slight decrease in the number of white students. You want to pay attention to the y-axis, because the in or the total number is pretty small. So we're talking about 3 or 4 students, and still it's a gap. This next slide, what we're looking at here is our students with an IEP. And we see that the number over the past year has gone down of students who were recommended for expulsion, while the number of students who are English learners has gone up, and the number of English-only students has gone down. What I really wanted us to focus tonight is on those offenses for which we recommended a suspended expulsion. So this is the situation where the principal and their team look closely at the student at the context, and they say, we feel strongly that with a very strict contract, this student can be safe and our school will be safe. Or this student will be safer and we can guarantee that they will follow through with their contract at another school. So those are the 4 different offenses: possession of knife, of imitation firearm, controlled substance, and committing robbery, for which we recommended a suspended expulsion. And 12 of those 13 students successfully completed their contract. I will share that they did not, from this, after the board decision, did not go back and become A students. They were not perfect students, but looking through their record, they responded very well to the wraparound support they received, and they improved their behavior, they improved their attendance, and they improved their grades. So to me, this is showing that for these students, that contract worked well. We look at the opposite. 13 of 20, we did 12 of 13. This past year, we have possession of knife, we have 1 possession of brass knuckles, filming a fight, threats, and brandishing. And of those 9, of those 9 incidents, only 7 students successfully completed their contract for reentry. The 2 students who did not complete their contract did not reoffend in the same manner that they first offended, but they didn't meet the guidelines. Again, the contract is very strict. So they did not follow the school rules, they did not attend school regularly, and so in both situations, the school administration determined that it was best for them to go into a county placement. Where we really want to be is for our students that we feel need that support early on, is establishing tier 1 teams at each of our secondary sites, looking at the attendance data within the first 4 weeks of school, looking at discipline data early on to pick up on patterns so that we aren't surprised when a student brings something to school, participates in a fight, that we're paying attention to all of those early warning signs. We'd like to be creating individual intervention plans for students. We'd like the support of our counselors and our social workers, who will be hopefully starting early September, in reaching out and connecting students and their families with services. And then a plan is only as good as our monitoring. It's one thing to set a plan in place, and it's another to ensure that the plan is doing what it's intended to do. When I go through, prior to sharing with you the recommendation for expulsion, and I see the number of our students who have been chronically absent, I think that's a starting point. If we can early on address, why is a student not coming to school? Why are they skipping out of certain classes? Then I feel confident that even if we can't provide everything they need from that school, we can sooner connect them with the resources they need in the community. We have tier 1 teams at the elementary that are strong and effective, that bring together counselors, health clerk, principal, lead teachers, a attendance for principal secretary, and it's time for us to bring this to the second grade. It's time for us to pay attention to our students who are taller and older and also need that kind of focused attention. So I look forward to bringing back to you in the spring some information, some data on those teams that will be meeting monthly. And I'm hoping that as a result of those teams, we will have fewer than 20 expulsions this year.
Okay, Sheila.
Oh, we're off. Thank you, Angela. I'm happy to see how you've thought about it, this, and how it's rolling out. I am wishing that on the team, which Annette, the tier one team, there would be more of an effort to look for possible learning disabilities, since learning disabilities are a very large factor in who ends up in juvenile hall and in prison, and who may look as if they're a behavioral problem in the schools, but in fact what they are is an undiagnosed learning problem. So I'm noticing that there are no psychologists or resource teachers on this team, and that has me really concerned, because the last thing I want to see is behavior divided out as if it has nothing to do with differences in learning. So I strongly, strongly request that
that's
we consider
a good point.
That.
And psychologists are part of the team at the elementary. So that's an omission we'll bring up.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Hey, Allison.
I have a question or a request that when we see the data, if we could include grade level.
Yes.
So that we could look at the patterns. And do we see any patterns that are specific to grade levels? And I just want to make a comment. Oh, you and I have talked about this, that I'm very pleased to be on a board and working with a team that is so committed to keeping our children in our system. The data nationally, the school-to-prison pipeline is very real. It's staggering, and it starts with suspensions and expulsions. So I'm happy to see that we're doing everything we can to not expel, suspend right away.
Patty?
So you had brought forth that you were seeing a correlation in attendance to a student expulsion, and I wanted to ask about, because I was a parent at one particular high school, do we have an attendance clerk in the same manner at all three of our comprehensive, and then at our middle schools, are we the same? And what sort of resources do we have for follow-up for truancy? And along with that, with the information abstracted, when do we find out about it? So I know as a parent, if you were tuned in, you would know that your student wasn't there because you were on the infinite campus, which came to you, and it came... Actually, there were several ways it came, calls, and if you have more than one phone and a landline, and you knew that your child wasn't there for the tuned-in parent. But I would imagine that some of this is part of a disconnect. So can you help me along with what we have there?
We have protocols that following the Ed Code, when we send out the letters, when we follow up with SAR, and we have required interventions prior to getting to a SAR, which is a student attendance and review board hearing. And I will say that we also have general frustration with going that route, because as a county, we have very few resources. So we can send out letters, we can refer, we can get to a hearing. I've been to a hearing, several hearings with Eileen to follow up, and the parent doesn't show, and that's the end of that. What we want to do as a district this coming year is continue to follow those protocols because they're required, and to do that outreach early on. And we'd like to ask our social workers to have their main focus be the truancy, particularly in secondary. When students are missing school, there are a number of reasons. And going back to Sheila's comment, are they always missing a particular class? Are they avoiding the class? Do they have responsibilities at home? And we found this out the hard way, that there are students who are taking care of parents, taking care of brothers and sisters. Do they have an illness, their own illness, that is causing them anxiety. So all of these, to us, that is the key indicator where we can begin is why isn't a student coming to school, or why is a student coming to school sporadically? And Eileen is committed to having her social worker team work directly with those students and beyond. So that, to really answer your question, we'll continue those protocols, but we don't find them to be as effective as the one-to-one counseling that we hope to provide with social workers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I like your help in understanding the data on the subgroups. So it's wonderful to see that in some subgroups the numbers have gone down from 14 to 15, but the Latinos numbers have gone up and the EL numbers have gone up. And I'm just trying to understand, of the Latinos, is there a breakdown in terms of what subgroups they are in?
This is where I think it would have been helpful to provide the grade data. I noticed this when I looked at the grade data and also the time of year data. Mm-hmm. We had 4 Latinos expelled near the beginning of the year as incoming 9th graders, mm-hmm. and that is key. So we look at what could we have done differently there in terms of transition. 3 of them were students from a different district. We know that there's a lot of anxiety with coming onto a high school campus, and that there are also some tensions within the community that played out in those expulsions. So I think this would have been a good place to have finer data, the grade, the time of year, because I would say those 4 additional came from that time of year and that difficult transition.
Sheila?
I have to say, after what you just said in answer to Dee Dee's question, that I'm so thankful for the way you're thinking about this and having you on board for this, Angela, because I feel like you're seeing the patterns that we can then do something about. But that's not what I've had my light on for. Since I'm the last light, I'll just... I wanted to understand, is total expulsions the suspended expulsions as well? No, the total expulsions is the ones that are absolute. And is there an explanation, or is it just chance, that it went down so much in 2012-13 and then kind of back up?
If you look at 2011-12, that was an unusual year. So I think it's probably misleading to think of 12-13 as going down, because the year before was, 24 is a lot. So I think... Unfortunately, I knew some of the students that were part of that previous year, and I think sometimes it does come in cycles or in waves. There are situations or conflicts. 2011-12, there were 6 that I think Chris and I may have worked through together that were all connected. So that's the other way to look at the data, not just time of year and grade, but also which expulsions are coming in clumps. We may have 3 or 4 students who are all involved in it. That would be my only explanation for that.
But would that mean that 13, 14, and 14, 15 then aren't that much of a drop expulsion-wise?
Not at all. And that's my concern. I don't feel like we've dropped at all. I think
we've gone down a bit in terms of some of them going to... If it wasn't for suspended expulsions,
exactly.
We would be staying about the same.
Yes.
So we still have to figure that out.
We still have to figure it out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? The report. So thank you, Angela. This is information that's really helpful. Okay, the next report is facilities update.
Thank you, President Hustle. Bringing tonight an informational item before the board. We'll wait for Ms. Banna to bring up the PowerPoint.
I think Curtis actually opened them earlier. They might be on the last part of the bottom. And then Curtis is just like a laugh.
We wanted to bring to you tonight, members of the board, the public, just an update of where we are, what we began, you know, very late in the previous fiscal school year, and some of the really aggressive goals that we have for the district regarding the long-range facility master plan and our summer projects. As you recall, back on June 1, we interviewed 5 firms out of 10 applicants as a follow-up to our request for proposals. And on June 17th, the direction of the board, we entered into a contract with Teeter A&E, comprehensive firm, to begin this process. And they began immediately meeting with us and staff and visiting sites. So where have we been? I say we, it's a project we bring as a team. We started on July 1, they visited Harbor High School, completely walked the site. And right now they're doing it specifically from an architectural engineering point of view, with the experience they've had with previous districts, what they've seen, and also taking into consideration what are some of the needs from a Division of State Architect and Office of Public School Construction point of view. They then proceeded on July 22 to visit De La Viega, Galt, and the Adult Ed site. As you could assume or see from this, put together, that elementary sites are a little bit easier to assess than a comprehensive secondary site. Returned back July 28, visited Westlake, the Branson 40 Small Schools, and Bayview, and on July 29, visited Santa Cruz High School. And on July 30th, they also then visited Branson 40 Middle School and Mission Hill Middle School. And then they began entering all the data in their spreadsheet of the sites they had visited to date. What have they noticed? What have we noticed? And what are going to be some of the quote-unquote we determine have-tos? Some of the necessary fixes we will do. Some of the things they're noticing very, very quickly are what we call the accessible paths of travel. Very questionable currently in our sites. Especially if you were to walk downhill, for example, in Santa Cruz, you'd find the slope a little bit high or challenging at the out of compliance. Accessibility to rooms, another issue. These are just some issues we're dealing with sites that have been in existence for a while. And again, as we talked about before, the last bond that was funded here was 17 years ago. So where do we find the resources? But they're also seeing tremendous amounts of opportunity. Opportunities of the existing space that is available on certain sites. How can it be repurposed? How can it be reused to meet the educational needs? Also the opportunities of increasing space, educational space, classrooms, opportunities just by walking the sites to what we have in our possession as a district right now. What are some of the challenges? The challenges we're going to see, as we talked about back in May and June, is how do we prioritize these improvements once we bring them forward? How do we then roll out this plan that we're aggressively pursuing, and how do we prioritize not just the improvements on the sites, but how do we prioritize sites? Those are some of the things that they're really trying to progress and put forward based upon their experience. So we're really looking forward to this process. Again, we're trying to be extremely aggressive. Where are we going? We actually have pushed back these dates based upon the fact that we're coming upon quickly about opening the school. And keeping our momentum on some other projects that we have internally. They're doing some more work on the back end and doing more work based upon some recent visits that our staff has experienced ourselves and doing some work on the back end. So we'll push these back a week or two to do this piece of it. They'll probably, the next visits, finish off the assessments of their sites. We're also pushing back the Prop 39 interviews. But also including this, into September, we'll then look to, one, coordinate the site leadership and site plant meetings. Meaning, how do we then meet with the site administrator, the principals, along with their key site staff first, but where they see some of their needs are internally? How does it match up what they've visualized? And then, of course, then continue to the community meetings. And right now, as part of the proposal, they had 6 meeting sites in place, and this is just a projection, you know, one at Harbor High School, one at B40 Smalls, for example, Santa Cruz. Can we coordinate Mission Hill, Bayview, Westlake, PCS, et cetera? SoCal High School, and then De La Viega B40 Galt, B40 Middle. So that's what we're really trying to do. And our next visit, we're actually beginning the process of having a joint meeting between the firm, district staff, and then also the financial advisor to begin that piece of putting all of this together and create that plan that we want to bring back to the board. That's what we're doing on the big picture as a district as a whole. It hasn't stopped with a lot of our team, and our team is working around the clock to get a lot of these things done. As we talked about late in June, we began to look at the issues with the shade structures at De La Viega. Currently, staff is reviewing with the architects a cooperative bid, quote-unquote piggyback, that's right now being reviewed by our legal team to make sure it's compliant and it would be followed California law. For example, we received one piggybackable bid that was used in Oregon. So we got to make sure they took the steps to follow the laws that cross into California. By using this piggybackable or cooperative bid, it means it's been really exercised by a school district to follow the needs that are met within the elementary system. We're also reviewing our current stipend called TOPO needs, looking at the elevation, what can we do, what can we change, all at the same time of doing this at De La Viega. At the same time, we're reviewing the spots of where we're going to place the drinking fountain and the hydration station. So we have a very aggressive schedule, hopefully trying to meet that before the start of school. Roofing projects have been ongoing at Mission Hill, Bayview, and Harbor per direction of the board. Work has begun with the Garland roofs. We've seen more, we've come across more rust spots on roof than we were hoping. So we're actually having their site engineer for Garland visiting directly with our architect to create a patch or a solution that will then put us back into the warranty, which has been our goal all along. So we can then continue this process of maintaining our investment we've made in the past. We have the drywall projects going on at the sites, Harbor, Mission Hill, and Bayview. Work has begun to clean, freshen the walls, ceiling tiles that have been exposed to some water damage through the leaking roofs. All those are going on at the same time also. We continue with the SoCal High Fill project. Again, some of the issues that we've had, we went through bid documents, the bid process, answering questions from the bidders, looking at the potential options. We've awarded the contract, came back, they provided their bonding capacity to make sure they were compliant to protect the district. We've now reviewed the submittals along with site staff, and now we're beginning to coordinate the project in a very aggressive stance to hopefully meet our September 17th first football game. That is our goal. We're working currently with staff in case that does not meet, just because of the fact of trying to get this all done. Remember, this process was just brought to our attention at the end of the last fiscal year due to safety reasons. This has turned into, we talked about a $900,000 project, and so we're putting this all together and finding the funding source, which we did. We're also working on our financial advisors to hopefully coordinate that with current outstanding COPs to extend the payment, maybe lower the interest rate. And then the SoCal High Quad program, excuse me, project has also begun. Our vendor partner, along with our parent group, were out there the last couple of weeks, have done the second quad, leveled it out. Part of the process there that we're working on is hopefully bringing some of that used turf that's still usable, bringing that over to that second quad and really add to it aesthetically and provide another opportunity there as far as that piece there. We also have begun already, Mr. Miller began looking at phase two of the Santa Cruz High School fence to get that project completed, of extending that piece down and put that one there also to see more and more entry and exits along the way there. So again, it's been a lot. Add to that just the summer cleanup, you know, moves to meet the needs of additional staffing. The team has done just a fantastic job in meeting these requirements. Our hats go off to them. We've been extremely busy with a very aggressive time frame. Felt it'd be very beneficial just to bring you currently where we stand. And of course, you know, one of the things that I have to come with some type of quote, and I found this from a very esteemed writer. Step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act, which we had to do between roofs and fields and pools and leaking, and then, you know, still trying to address the summer cleanup. And the staff has done just an absolutely fantastic job. So my hat goes off to all of our crews for really working and making tremendous progress.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Jeremy.
I have a football question for you. How are our three comprehensive high school football fields doing?
You know, we've been extremely aggressive, really, not just, thanks for, that's a very valid question, I've never shown it. We've been addressing a lot of the fields, not just at secondary, but also elementary. In fact, I was at the Harbor High site today, and I'm going to quote Trevor, it's looking the best it has in a long, long time. We brought an infill sand to all the fields. We've been watering the Santa Cruz portion. Is it perfect? No, but we feel it's in a much better place than what it was a year ago at this time. So our goal has been that for definitely Santa Cruz and Harbor will be hosting their fields. And right now our goal is to make sure, try to make sure it happens at SoCal also. So they're looking much better. We've also addressed some of the needs at Westlake, some of the PCS sites are trying to level those out. We've been bringing in yardages of dirt and sand mixture to get that piece much more safe for our kids.
Thank you.
Dee?
I just had a question about the, or a request for an update on the paths of travel at Harbor High School. I know there were some concerns about the state of that path that goes down from SoCal Drive down into the backside of the high school. And where are we with fencing that area?
That's one of the things that we noticed in our recent visits. Currently, Superintendent Monroe and I met with local city and county officials to determine the next steps. In fact, that's why we pushed back some of our architect physical visits. They've been in the back designing and looking at some of the fencing needs that we had since they already walked the harbor site. The safety of our children returning back is critical. So our next visit, in fact, I'll be making some phone calls tomorrow to set up meetings with the Planning Commission. Because, you know, that site, there's, you can walk five steps and then be in a county zone, walk five steps back and you're in a city zone. So, of course, it's very easy to get all the heads to meet once and come to a conclusion, but that's our goal. So we have addressed those on the panel.
Patty?
My question was, I'm sorry, I wanted to make sure I was following along. So you've just had a 1 week pushback for site visits with your with the overview committee on the sites that you have not been through yet. So you've been through, you've listed all these.
We pushed them back at least 1 week.
Just 1 week. Right. Yes, okay, so we won't be going out too far there. Just a question. When I drive by House Santa Cruz High near the baseball field, is that lot with the portables considered adult ed or is that considered Santa Cruz High?
Oh, I have
the
portables.
It's adult ed.
Okay, so that we consider that adult ed when we're talking about it. It's a little ancillary lot back there. Okay, that's just for me. And then you have laid out, and I'm sorry, I'm new on this piece, but the review, you know, we talk about the review process. So you'll come forward with the needs as seen through the state architects and the walkthroughs, and then through the actual sites themselves and their site communities, meaning those that work there. And then there'll be a public piece for input. Is that all to happen in September of this year?
No. In September, we'll just be the site visits with administration and their core team, mm-hmm. and then beginning the community meetings.
And when you say community meetings, what is that purpose for? All community or the community within that site?
The community within the sites that we've listed as attentive site meetings.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the remainder of the panel we brought back a later date with just a comprehensive look at some of the things they feel we could do.
With those on site, that community, meaning right. the teaching community and that working
there. Whole, the whole district site.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I just like to clarify, because I'm not sure that you both were understanding each other yeah. there. So Patty, the community meetings that are going to be held, so they'll be the meetings with site staff, those community meetings will be for staff and for parents and for other people at those school sites to come together and get input.
In this September?
In September.
Okay, so in a month. All right.
Thank you for the report. Item 8.3.3 is another staff report, district and site websites.
Yes, again, it's my pleasure to introduce to you, again, another informational presentation tonight from our IT director, Mr. Curtis Gomez, regarding some of the new information we have on our new district website, where we were and where we like to go. So, Mr. Gomez.
Thank you for the introduction, Mr. Monreal.
All right.
It's great to be here. Great to see you all again. I can go ahead and start that 3-minute clock right now.
Don't get that.
All right. We're going to take it from here. All right. School websites. We're almost there. Let's start with here. Santa Cruz City Schools website update. Where are we going? Let's talk about a brief history of our websites. I've been here 15 years. And we talk about school website masters. We've had such wonderful parent volunteers, administrators, and even teachers help out with our websites. Our IT department, technology, we have yet to be a part. You know, we weren't a part of that, although we did help out with a little bit of tech support. But we just like, it's a huge thank you to our parent volunteers for taking on that task, and they've done a great job. And they were so fortunate that they had a technological background. So, but the main problem there with being site administrators, being parent volunteers, is no centralized management set in. So we've had some issues there. No district support, as I said. no centralized management system put in place. Talk about uniformity. What uniformity? We have stuff sporadic. Although our sites don't look that bad, they still, because they've done a great job, as I said, but we have sites using different web design software, using Joomla, Weebly, WordPress, all out there, and different layouts, not much of standardization. So that's what we kind of want to bring back, or want to bring to our websites. Okay. This would be nice and short here. 2015 progression. We are progression. We're making progress, and we were hoping to have it ready to go today, but we have our homepage just about ready. Unified District website, that's what we're looking at here. I have to give props to our lead tech, Nathan Costa, who's for the last few months has been dealing with talking with the site's webmasters, getting the data to get it migrated with the Sharp School, the data management team. And he's done a great job, so I tip my cap to him on handling this huge project. But I'm really excited just to show the new design interface that we have coming up. And what it brings right away is a centralized management and unity to our school district. And we'll show it soon. But the sites, they have a modern look and feel to it. But what it promotes is that communication and standardization for all sites and district. We don't say our district sites plus the rest of our sites. We like to say our district and our district site. You'll see the uniformity there in a bit. Let's go with security and reliability. When we talk about that, we talk about, we talk about granular management. This is just granting permissions. We'll kind of take on the administrative part of it and grant permissions to site administrators, teachers. You know, everyone will have their take on this. And then redundant service across the country. So reliability is 99.9%. A lot of times that doesn't happen where if your site goes down, what happens? This site, there's mirrored servers throughout the country, and we're hoping that they stay up. Ease of use, all you can say is user-friendly. Definitely user-friendly. And just about anyone, even myself, no problem editing any page with using Sharp School. It's a click, drag, and drop. It's when you click into it and you go into design mode, it almost looks like a Word palette. It's that easy. And I think one of the best things here is mobile access. We purchased the redesign device here, a responsive design that makes our sites easier to navigate on a mobile device. So it really, I don't know if you guys see, I'm sure you guys have been a part of one on your phone, and our site's just about ready to go. And our new website URL will be secs.net. So, and all the rest of the
Thank
sites.
Thank you.
All right. We'll start right there. I don't know if you guys wanted to take a look at it.
Yes.
But this is what our district site will look like. And if you can see that top navigation bar where it selects a school, all our schools, it just shows you that we're unified now. That's the number one thing. And as you can see the look, what do you guys think of the look right there when you first come to San Francisco City Schools? I think it's really nice. So, you know, we got a lot of, it's still a work in progress. We're so close to getting it, rolling it out for all the sites. But this was 2 months we were able to make this transition. That's the big thing. We talked about this last spring, and I'm excited to roll it out. We still got to communicate with the principals and make sure all their sites are ready to go.
Question?
Okay, we're good.
Curtis, do you want to pull up the website?
Sure.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about...
If you click on it.
There's a huge financial savings with this system, too.
Yeah, click on it.
It's really exciting for us. We were paying more for our just district use, the district management of our district site. We're going to be able to provide sites for all the schools for less than what we were paying annually for the maintenance on our district site.
Wow.
So this is the first time we provided the sites, you know, the resources to the sites for that. We had sites that were getting estimates on having sites built this last year that were over $10,000. So this is really good news for us. We're very excited and very grateful to the IT department for their work to make this happen this summer. So this is the live site right here. Is
our district site? Our district site, yeah, has all the pictures of all our schools.
Harvard.
If you look at the very top, and you scroll down a little, Molly, and you'll see how we do have added.
Nice.
Well, once you have, you just all current up to date stuff in there, and we still got to edit it. That's the thing. So we don't want to roll it out just yet till it's ready to go. But we're close.
Can you click on a school site, Molly, in the top left?
I think we have to log in. Top left, select the school. Go very up. See the navigation bar right there. All the schools will be there. Try Bayview. We'll have to log in right there again.
Aww.
So we haven't locked that.
That's a bummer.
If you can bring it up on your phone with SECS.net, and you'll see the responsive design on your phone.
That's pretty nice.
I think it's great because there's some families that do not have the internet at home, and they do have a mobile service, and they can see it and get all the information they need off of it as well. I wish we were a little further into it where we could show you right now all the sites. It's coming up.
That's great.
Hopefully the next time we're here, we will show it. Mm-hmm. We're excited. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but I gotta add one more thing, I'm so sorry, is that shooting out emails, mass notifications. Oh, it's instantly, 10, 12,000 emails. You know, I think some of our sites are using third-party software, and we can cancel that now. And the communication factor, the tools in there, it's phenomenal. And I know people pay third-party software to do that, but to me, that's one of our highs. I used to have to sit there on Infinite Campus doing ad hocs for hours to send out to all district parents. We had a survey to go out or something, an emergency, for emails, we only sent out 2,000 per day. So this right here it's a huge plus. All right, thank you.
Are there any questions?
Yes.
Okay, Patty, and then Jeremy.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
So just to reiterate the numbers, total cost for district website alone, $9,500. Year one will cost us a bit more, but from then on, future years, it's less. And that's what you're talking about. How many times a day or month or year do these sites get visited? Do we have that data? That's my question.
That's a good question. There is a counter clock that we could actually put on there to see how many visitors we have. That's a good question. I don't know if it's on there right now, but we could add that.
I think it could be fun and informative.
Okay. Would you like their location, too, where we're pulling from?
That would be
even better.
Not fun or informative in the proper way. Thank you very much. But I do think those numbers could be very interesting if we could do it just per site or per school site or for the City Schools alone. And then when we hit 100,000 visits, we can announce it and so on and so on and so on. Yeah.
Excellent.
There you go.
Okay.
Ms. Monroe, I'd like to thank you and your administration for taking this on, because as I see our website, this is our message. Anybody who doesn't know us, anybody coming from an out area, anybody who needs to know, like, what's going on? I don't understand the rules. This is the rule book, and I so appreciate this direction we're moving in. But what I'd like to know, Curtis, is what is our time commitment from our tech area? Is it daily revisions? Do we have a slotted time and purpose for upkeep of the website? Because we'd always like to keep it as clean as possible so that the information reflects exactly what those going to it need to know. And a lot of times there'll be antiquated things that need to be flushed out as we get past them. And so I'm just curious to what is our follow-through going to be?
Well, right now, we're looking into some training. We got training within the next 2 weeks with Sharp School as our for our techs. And from there, we're going to roll out a training program for all site, all the new webmasters. So we kind of put it in the hands of the principals, site principals, to find someone with they can edit no problem. They can become the new webmaster, and I'm sure they want hands-on with that as well. But whether it be a principal secretary or a parent volunteer, I think we were thinking about there's a few sites that may have wanted to go that route. And keep it up. Go ahead, Chris.
So we're going to be training people. The techs will all know how to use it, so they can provide support. It is very user-friendly, and it wouldn't be possible for the IT department to update the content. We don't have enough team members to do it, but they can help troubleshoot. And Nancy and I have both looked at it and looked at the user tools. It's the easiest website I've ever worked with. And I'm very excited about the way our ability to update and keep it current, I think, is going to be much, much, much better than it was before.
We actually have a plan for the district office staff, and that is each department is supposed to update their information quarterly once we get this up and running. So that's the schedule, if you're talking about like an updating schedule. That's the schedule for a district. I don't know about what time.
And then I guess my question was, I'm very happy for all of that and that piece. I think that's exactly the direction. But what is the last set of eyes for the accountability? You know, I think we need that plan to say that we are looking at these, whatever the plan may be. And when it's developed, if you could just let me know, that'd be great, because it is very frustrating as a parent to go onto a site or just anybody, as our sales piece, as our rule book, you know, as the face of city schools for anybody who most people are doing. I just want to make sure that we have the follow through that allows this very user-friendly tool to be accessed the best it can, because misinformation leads to a lot of problems too. Not that it's going to be there. I just had to have a club in that grade. Sorry, Curtis.
That's okay.
So
great answer there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sheila?
One more. Well, I do want to say that the pictures, are they on a continuous?
Yes.
It's whoever's idea that was. It's a very cool idea, because there's a lot of people who are not within our city schools who are discussing, you know, whether they want to send their kids to the schools.
Right.
And the visual of the schools is really great, so I really appreciate that. And the only other thing, and I don't think this would be you, Curtis, I think maybe it would be the administration, but I agree with Patty in the sense of last eyes, and also if maybe in about a year we could do some kind of a feedback thing with parents, because I mean I'm totally clueless, but the parents are not, and they are always coming to me and saying, you know, you really ought to have this, or if you did this then it would be easy to find this, and I have no idea what they're talking about, but it might give you an idea of, is there something in the loop that we haven't thought of that's important to the parents?
Yeah, you know, I think we're talking standardization as well, right? Having certain links that are mandatory for all sites, too. Yeah, all your questions are very valid. We'll find some answers and hopefully get back to you down the road.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you.
In the public hearing. In the public hearing for the development fees justification study.
I'm Mark Violante. I'm chairperson of the Personnel Commission. And lucky I'm here tonight, I noticed that in the website they had a place for administration. And I was wondering, in administration, the board of trustees were on there. I was wondering if the Personnel Commission was added to that website, because that's an important part of the school system for us as classified employees who we govern to be on that website, so everybody understands how the whole school system works. So I don't know if it was up there or not. I'm just asking the question if it was placed under the place of administration. So can we see the drop-down window?
Curtis, how do I?
Let's go to the last slide. Yeah, you gotta run it.
I just want to make sure that Personnel Commission is listed.
Run that slide.
I think it's under Human Resources.
Well, you won't find it. Yeah, just run back from the current slide.
I can't see it either direction.
It's just linked up right there.
I heard my new glasses.
Any other questions? Open a public hearing for the B is justification study.
Thank you again, President Vestal. Bringing tonight is, or calling for, a public hearing regarding the development impact fees justification report. Back in January of 2014, the state architect increased the level one fees in order for the district to be able to then justify that we can then increase the fees in concordance with that. We must then conduct a developer fee justification report. Now, normally you want to tie it to the time that the fee is increased. This vendor was actually brought on board probably early last year before my arrival. We worked with them to complete the report so that we can then validate the piece of it. Again, this is part of the process through which the district must continue to operate to validate that we can then charge the associated fees with new development. Closely tied to new development is the thought that as it occurs, construction of houses, residential or commercial property will bring in children along with that development. And based upon the number of children brought in per household, sets up this fee basis to assist in the construction or maintenance of facilities. So tonight, bringing to you for the public hearing tonight is a report that was completed by our external vendor, I believe Dick Recht, who has been a vendor of the district before. The last one hadn't been completed in about 7 or 8 years, so normally this should be done on a every 3 year basis, just as a validation of the fee or not. So this will bring us back into compliance, and through the document that was presented, it does show that the district is valid to charge the fees. Because we are two districts, it is broken up based upon our percentage of one as a high school district and then as an elementary district.
Are there any questions or comments? Jeremy?
Yeah, Jim, I'm missing my numbers, but I believe these districts are going to net us an additional $70,000 a year.
Potentially, based upon the projected billing that occurred last year, if you match it to it. Yeah.
And
again, that will depend upon, we're seeing a current increase in construction, not just in the Santa Cruz area, but all the neighboring areas. Again, one of our major limitations is the availability of land and the type of construction that can be done on that land. So it's a combination of those factors that tie it back to the student growth ratio.
And that 300, that 70,000 is 70,000 above the current 320,000.
Correct.
Like that. Right. Okay. That, and you're saying, follow-up question, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. You're saying that we should be doing this every 3 years.
Normally it's done on every 3 year basis.
When was the last time you did
it? I believe based upon the contract that I saw, about 2006 or 7.
So
we have been a little bit out. A lot of that had been due, many districts had done that based upon not wanting to incur the fee because growth had really been limited based upon that California recession.
Yes.
Or the national recession. So a lot of it just left it at the previous rate, and the SAB hadn't increased rates in a lengthy period of time as far as that. But you want to do this consistently, especially in working with your developer partners or when you have a new construction coming in.
Thank you.
And Sheila.
One thing I'd just like you to pass on to the people who did this, I learned a whole lot reading this about much more than developer fees. I was astounded by what I didn't know, and it was a very helpful document in terms of thinking about our overcrowded schools and what kinds of plans we could have. I was really very appreciative of it.
I think it goes hand in hand with the reasons why we really, as an administration, want to bring back to you the need for a long-range plan to be in conjunction with all the information we're gathering.
And it was so helpful that way, to be able to look at the whole picture and the possibilities available to us.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was wondering, and you may not know this, but the figures about growth and how much housing is going to be required, it wasn't clear to me, I might have missed it, but it wasn't clear to me where those came from. Did they come from the county or what?
It's a combination of factors based upon the fact that because there's been such limited growth, especially over the last 8 to 10 years, what he used as his point, he was trying to tie the number of students enrolled to the number of units that were created over that time. In many cases, when there's been consistent growth, there'll actually be a clear calculation to get to, for example, each household will generate 0.4 of a student at elementary level and 0.6 at a high school. In this case, he had to just tie it back to some of the empirical data he had, which involved the number of households tied to enrollment. So that's one thing I believe, if we can continue this process. The next report, we get clearer data. Hopefully, we have better numbers with which to work to clarify that type of question.
So, let me see if I've got it clear in what you're saying. One of my questions was, I know that we're just about grown out as a county, but we still do have to find room for housing. In fact, it was in the front of the paper. Mm-hmm. I think it was today. But the figures seemed sort of high for what I know the problem to be about not being able to find enough places for housing.
Right, which is why you adjust the report usually on that three-year basis to see what's changed or what has to be revised to update the information. You're absolutely correct. In fact, as Superintendent Rose mentioned earlier about, you know, her involvement in Rotary and as well as Assistant Superintendent Meekers, mine is with the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm part of their Community Advisory Committee, which meets once a month, and one of the key topics right now that we're discussing is housing and the availability, which is done with this 25-30-member task force within the county chamber. In fact, there's a meeting tomorrow regarding that. So it's a consistent issue on their point also, and the points you're bringing up are ones that are consistently repeated throughout this whole discussion. You know, the amount of housing, what type of housing, what's been kept out. A key point from this report that I read was because we put this plan into place, watching it from another report from the county, there was a plan put into place to really limit the growth in Santa Cruz, you know, but by doing that, there's not enough housing out to meet what growth we do have.
Right.
So it's exactly the points that you're referring to.
And just so that you know, I believe that this is one of the many things that the elections office has this information. They have software for this information that nobody knows they have. I mean, that it might be a really good resource to look into, too, in terms of projections about future building and future children in the district.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And it's a public hearing, so do we have comments from the public?
I agree with one question on the report, which ties to the next line. One of the things that was one of the points, I apologize, that was noted in the report, we have the rate for residential housing, which is pretty, you know, clear, broken up on the percentage. Mm-hmm. We have the rate for commercial, you know, about 54 cents a square foot, 336 for residential. There were two additional pieces of discussion, which were really a new point for me in the 9 years I've been doing this role. One was the 1 cent per square foot charge for parking and up to a 5 cent charge for storage. And as part of this public hearing, what you'll notice, the next points going forward on the resolutions is those were not added into the calculation base. We as a district have consistently charged for the commercial and the residential rate, but have not done specifically this penny or nickel for storage and sheds or parking. So something I just wanted to bring to you as a board. Based upon, you know, again, that partnership with the county and the area as far as what we need.
Okay.
Sheila, did you have another question?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the same. Same question.
Okay. We'll close the public hearing. Next item is 8.3.5, our resolutions 1-15-16 elementary and 2-15-16 secondary development fee justification.
Again, these are types. So this is the actual action we must take after the public hearing to actually put these rates in effect. We're asking the board to take action tonight to approve these resolutions. We have continued the path that we have, as I just mentioned during the hearing, of charges purely for the residential and the commercial rate at this time. What happens next, if the board so does approve, we then present this report to the county and to the planning and necessary tax assessor's office. For implementation, and then we do not charge the new rate for a period of 60 days based upon the action by the board.
Chairman?
Are you looking for a resolution on both at once, or do we take them separately?
I think we can take them together.
Are you going to do that?
Are you making a motion?
I do. I move to approve resolution number 1-15-16 and resolution number 2-15-16.
I second.
Okay, Jeremy and Sheila. And this is a resolution, so it's a roll call.
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Item 8.3.6, an information item, announcement of the new personnel commissioner.
Good evening. I'm thrilled that Mark is here. As part of our process of having a personnel commission, there's some different points to it. And the personnel commission is made up of three people. One is appointed by the union, one is appointed by you, and one is a joint person that together we vote to have on the commission. So there's kind of three parts to this. Two parts are tonight, and the following part will be in September. So last year we had a vacancy, and we put an interim of James Mano in that vacancy, and he's been serving since February in that position. And so tonight we come with the first point, your first enclosure, is to announce it's in your intent to appoint James Mano to the Personnel Commission on a permanent basis. And then the next thing that we have, we'll have a public hearing, which basically says the vote will be taking place in September.
Any questions? Are there any questions? Open the public hearing for the appointment of a new personnel commissioner.
Is there any public?
Mark Fiolante, chairperson, personnel commission. Mm-hmm. About this agenda item, first, as a personnel commissioner, I would like to say a personnel commission would like to fight Dr. Jim Watson for the many years that he was on it. And,
thanks, but no thanks.
Unselfishly gave a lot of his time as a volunteer to serve the board in Santa Cruz City School District. As evidenced by his presence tonight, it is an integral resource and a voice still we'd like to hear. Thank you, Jim. With regard to Mr. Jim Spano, I personally would like to support him. It's very hard, as Jim and I know, to conduct business with only two people on the board. Mr. Spano comes with a great background in the school district and basically got thrown into the position and has actually done very well in that position and has helped us as a school district to get through certain things that have come up and has taken upon himself to even go out there into the public and ask questions, which I think was really great because coming on the board without much knowledge of who we are and what we do, he basically was learning on the job and he did that very, very well. So with that, I express my support for that. Also, I would also like to invite all members of the school board to attend a personnel commission meeting. It's very important that you as board members know what the personnel commission does. We're governed by merit system rules and the Ed Code. And what we do is we keep those policies in place and follow them. Those rules and regulations, the Ed Code merit system, is regarding job classification, job specifications, recruiting, testing, hiring of all classified employees. And we do that without prejudice. That's what we do. We would like you to come and join us, see what we do. It's part of the school system. And with that, I'll stop my comments and I support Mr. Spano being part of our commission. And I would like to thank Jim once again, Dr. Lodge, thank you.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Hey, are there any other comments?
Mr. Violante's wife is the vice president of the classified union. And in case any of you are
do you want to take the statement?
Mr. Violante's wife is the vice president of the classified union. I think you should all understand that. And as such, perhaps there may be a conflict of interest. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Jeremy?
Mark, I have a question for you. I think that I'd like to see photographs of the three personnel commissioners on the website. And that it's because it serves 250 approximately, for not knowing the exact number of classified employees very well. I think it would be in our interest to make it a bit more prominent and accessible, just like school board members come up with photographs and so on. I'd like to see that if you wouldn't mind. Do you feel that's a decent suggestion?
You don't mind seeing my face on the website?
No, I think it honors the hard work that you guys do, and I thank you for the invitation.
We'll make that happen.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing. Item 8.3.8 is appoint new personnel commissioner.
I'm doing so good on my online.
So at this point, we are showing our intent to approve Jim Spano for this position. The vote will take place at our next meeting. Oh, this is about Bertha, I'm sorry. Got confused. Brian Bertha was appointed as a personnel commission to serve for a 3-year term ending in December. He was sworn in on August 4th. And he is a resident of Santa Cruz, a practice attorney in town, so he has joined the Personnel Commission as a joint member. So currently now we have 3 members on our Personnel Commission. But this is not a board vote. This was Jim voted on your behalf and Mark voted on the union behalf to approve Mr. Murtha to the board.
Are there comments or questions?
Yeah.
Jeremy?
Yeah. Why 3 years? Isn't it a 4-year term?
It's a 3-year
term. I believe it's a 3-year term.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay, it's not an action item, so. The next item is 8.3.9, approved tentative agreement. The SCCS and Administrative Management Association.
So we bring forward to you an agreement between our Administrative Management Association. We agreed to a 2.5 retroactive salary increase as well as an ongoing 3% as effective July 1st. Very similar to our certificated bargaining unit, the district has agreed to a significant restructuring of total compensation. So, as the other agreement that we had was certificated, beginning in October, administrators will be paying 50% of their health benefits as well. This represents about a 14% increase to cover those benefits. And again, it's a parallels the idea that we did for a restructuring for certificated teachers as well.
Questions? Comments?
So the recommendation is to approve the meet and confer agreement.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Allison moves, second?
Second.
Patty second. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? 6-0.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item. 8.3.10 is the revised salary schedule.
Jen?
This is bringing forward, again, in conjunction with the action that was just taken by the board to revise the salary schedule in conjunction for the management team. And what we've done is presented to you with the necessary changes that become effective July 1 based upon the previous action. So this is an action item and staff recommends board approval.
Okay. Questions or comments? Questions or comments from the public? Okay. Motion?
So moved.
Jeremy moves, second?
Second.
the unison, Allison seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? 6-0. Thank you. Okay, item 8.3.11 is approved the tentative agreement with FCCS and CAPIT.
I'm going to go ahead and take this item. The agreement with CAPIT, again, reflects the certificated agreement that was made with the teacher bargaining unit with the 2.5% retroactive salary one time. Actually, you know, that doesn't look, that's not reading correctly. It should say, I didn't catch this before, it's 2.5%. It's not a salary increase, it's a one-time amount, as well as an ongoing increase of 3% as of July 1. Is this, again, is similar to the agreement, the cabinet will begin to pay for 15% of their health benefits. The savings from the employees paying the health benefits will then be applied to the salary schedule, which represents a 9.41% increase. This restructuring of total compensation ensures that both the district employees are invested in controlling the health and welfare costs.
Questions or comments?
Just a question, just clarification. So this is one time, not retroactive.
It is one time
for management, but is that the case with the AMA as well?
Yes, that was an error. It's what it's 2.5% one time.
We were getting upset. Okay.
It was exactly the same as the teachers. It's exactly the same. It's a mistaken wording that I didn't catch until I was sitting here reading it.
I apologize.
Are we changing it?
Let's reflect it.
Yeah, I would like to officially say that I'm going in for the minutes. Mm-hmm. Change the motion to say, with a correction to the motion to read 2.5% one-time adjustment, salary adjustment, and then an ongoing 3% raise for each of these items. So we'll make that change, and just know that your motion will include that in it.
Okay. Thank you.
So sorry for that area, and I didn't catch it first. I'm
glad you caught it.
Do we have a motion? Jeremy moves.
Second.
And Patty seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? 6-0. Item 8.3.12, revised salary schedule for cabinet.
Sorry. You're clarifying that point. I was looking for the error. Yeah, this again, I apologize. This is an action item bringing forward that ties to the action that was just taken that updates the schedule, salary schedules, tied for the cabinet as well, tying specifically to the increase as noted that was recently voted on by the board. Thank you.
Okay, are there questions or comments? Questions or comments in the public? The motion? Jeremy moves. Sheila second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Open a public hearing for resolution 3-15-16, parcel tax calling for November 2015 election.
Jim, are you going to take this one, or do you want me to?
Yeah, this is the one that's already pulled up the files together here. We're working through the electronic portion of it. I apologize. Yes, again, as noted, bringing forward tonight is the district was given direction of renewing current Measure P on the elementary side of the house. So bringing forward tonight as part of the public hearing is the resolution and the wording in order to continue this process within the district. Again, the district during especially the lean economic time was wanting to maintain the effective programs within the district. The community made a commitment, and again, based upon this, the district has been successful in maintaining many of the educational programs that were reduced throughout the state, especially during that eight-year period in particular, class sciences, arts, additional sciences, et cetera. So we're bringing forward tonight as part of the public hearing is the ongoing maintenance of this elementary parcel tax without an increase to the current amount that has been considered by the voters.
Do you have questions or comments? Public comment? Okay. Close the public hearing and move to item 8.3.14, and it's a recommendation to adopt resolution 315-16. Is a motion?
Move approval.
Allison moves approval. A second?
Second.
Patty seconds. It's a resolution, so roll call.
Aye.
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 Aye. Public hearing for resolution 415-16.
Thank you again, President Vestal. Bringing forward tonight again is a follow-up from our discussion that we had with the board study session over the summer months. In this case, it's a creation of a new secondary parcel tax, specifically geared towards looking at the funding of athletics, student after-school and middle school engagement. As far as maintaining that piece and really geared towards keeping our students engaged and involved in many of the programs throughout. During the study session, we went over some potential funding programs that would then be enhanced and maintained on behalf of the district. One of the current considerations we've heard throughout the past year, especially in regards to the budget, but with some of the challenges we've had, not just as a district, but also upon the community to continue to support our elementary schools. And one of the key components we think of this is by going out and seeking the secondary parcel tax, which is a new parcel tax for the district, would again continue to enhance our programs and create our ability to provide educational opportunities for our students.
Just like to add, you know, the local control funding format did bring us this year some additional dollars. But it also, the state brought upon us many new fiscal responsibilities. The state is no longer funding career technical education programs via ROP through the county office. This new measure would provide the resources that we need to preserve those programs for our students. So both these measures, the renewal of Measure P and the secondary parcel tax, are about preserving the outstanding programs that the community has entrusted us with. Our public has trusted us with their resources and continually renewed those resources in Measure P. That's a parcel tax that has been renewed several times in our district, providing art and music instruction, small class sizes, life lab programs, at library programs in our elementary schools. In our this secondary proposal is looking to provide supports for programs that we haven't been able to preserve since the cuts began. We haven't been able to provide the kind of after-school engagement programs, athletics. We won't be able to provide the kind of career technical education programs that we want to provide without finding some fiscal resources to meet the needs. The county office has been incredibly generous with us and has created a four-year plan for us to take over those costs, but it's over $1.4 million a year. So although the state has given, they've also taken a great deal away. 25% of new revenues this last year went to covering STRS and FERS costs, and we were pleased to see positive polling results this last spring that would indicate that the community still is feeling very positive about the work that we're doing with the resources in Measure P, and that they are the results from the polls suggest the community would support the resources and the investment in our secondary programs as well.
Okay, it's a public hearing. Do we have comments from the public?
I'll just talk.
Casey Carlson, representing the Greater Santa Cruz Federation of Teachers, Secondary Vice President. And I came up here to say that the union strongly supports the parcel taxes, as we have in all the past measures. We're especially happy to see this new secondary measure, and we feel that the district has really listened to the parents and the community, and including athletics, including the CTE piece, because that's a really important component, including the performing arts, because those, the music teachers and theater teachers have kind of felt left out. So we think that this is something that the community will support, and we're committed, as we always have been, to bringing in volunteers to knock on doors and make phone calls. And I think it's really important what Chris just mentioned, that we do educate the community, that our district is one of those LCFF losers, that we're not getting the funds that that say Pajaro or North Monterey County or Salinas are getting, and yet we do have about 44% of students who, you know, who need those extra services. And so that's a significant number of students, and we do need to generate the revenue. And it's wonderful that we live in such a supportive community, and we will be reaching out to our teachers right away to get them involved.
Thank you. Any other comments? Sheila?
Well, I just wanted to say that as happy as I am to see that we're going to renew our elementary tax, I am extremely happy about the additional secondary. And I would like to echo what Casey said, which is that the public has been really clear about these two needs. And I'm really pleased that we're listening and that we're specifically addressing the safety and in happiness involvement of our children after school as well as in school. And so that it's not just athletics, but certainly athletics has been starved for years, but also other enrichment programs that are available to the students. So I'm very pleased about that, and I'm very pleased, and I do believe that you've kind of been the leadership for this, Chris, the career tech education, getting this on this ballot. And I was worried that it wasn't going to carry in this community, and I don't know what I was thinking, because people have been talking and talking and talking about this need. And it's carrying very well so far. So now we just have to get out there and walk the roads. So I really appreciate this. And I would just like to say, for anybody who may have the concerns, that the other concern that people have talked about a lot is the mental health needs. And we have already been able to, that's something we have been able to address, or to begin to address with the hiring of social workers again, finally, within our secondary schools. So we don't really have to be looking to the parcel tax to help us with that at this point. So I want to thank you for taking leadership on this and for getting these particular items, which are so important to the community, onto the parcel tax. So that's all.
Dee?
I just wanted to say that I'm thankful to my colleagues here and to everyone who attended the study session that we had about the parcel taxes, and the end result of those discussions is, I think, a well-revised statement for the secondary level support. It has a very positive spin, and it's including things that were not on the table, at least not in the language before, and I hope that this is successful. This is a much-needed support of funding for our schools.
Thank you. I will close the public hearing and go to the next item, 8.3.16, and that's a recommendation to adopt 4.15.16 resolution. We have a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Patty and Sheila. It's a resolution.
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, the next item is 8.3.17, community meetings.
At our board governance session in the end of May, we committed to continuing the community meetings that the board began in the spring, this school year, scheduling them regularly throughout the year. Trustee Shedick and I met, and we built a plan and consulted with principals, and we have a schedule put together for meeting at the various school sites at different parts of the district, pairing it with current or existing meetings, pairing it with PTA meetings or home and school club meetings, or the DLAC meeting, so that we are guaranteed to have some parents available to, so that we can hear from them. And I think we all felt that the opportunity to go out in informal settings with two trustees at a time to listen to the community, hear what concerns and needs that they have, is very helpful to us as we work together in the district. I wanted to share the schedule with you and invite you to please coordinate with Nancy on the community meetings that you would like to attend.
Nancy, would you like this electronically, or do you want us to?
You know, whatever works for you guys. You can send me an email, you can give me a phone call, you can do anything you want to let me know what meetings you'd like to attend, and we'll just leave it as a, you know, if more than two people express an interest in attending a meeting, are we just going to make it bigger, or should we just say the first two are the two, and then we need to fill up the other spaces? Let me just ask you that.
I think we should fill up the spaces before we add a third meeting.
Okay. Third, so if I hear from two people and then I hear from a third, I'm just going to say, could you move to another meeting?
Right.
Okay? So we'll just do it like first come, first serve.
What about Deb? For Deb, just so that we don't...
Well, she'll be back. Okay. I mean, this isn't going to happen tonight.
Tomorrow.
I mean, so what I'll do is I'll take this schedule and I will email it to you guys. Mm-hmm. And then you can just
respond.
You know, let me know however you want. You can fax it in, email it in, scan it and send it to me, whatever works for you guys. Give me a phone call. Anything.
So, can I clarify? Does that mean we will only have two, or it means we're going to fill everything up and then we'll come back around?
We'll only have two.
What?
We will only have two.
Only two trustees to mm-hmm. each meeting? Mm-hmm.
Because if you start opening it up to three or four, then that's you couldn't have a violation of the Brown Act. You'll be discussing things at a meeting, right, with people, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's in the past, people have gone to listen, not talk.
You'll have to take that up with Chris. So I'm just going to fill up the schedule. That's what I know.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. Are there any Dee?
I just want to ask, I'm not sure if this goes to Nancy or Chris, if we would love to attend more than a couple of meetings, should we rank order our list?
Oh, that would be a great idea.
That would be really
so
helpful.
Yeah.
My Nancy will work to honor your first choices first.
Of course.
And then your second choices, and so on.
Okay.
That's a great idea, Dee.
Awesome.
And I just want to make sure that we have a plan for good communication so that the parents and surrounding schools know, like for the De La Viega meeting, let the Harbor community know. So we want to make sure that we mm-hmm. everyone knows that it's happening.
That's
so that we can get a nice big group there to talk to us.
Great, yes. Any other questions or comments? All right, we will adjourn to closed session.
Okay, we got through this.
I know.
How did it go for you guys? Did you ask for it?
Okay, why don't we
let's
make it quick, huh?
It's Marina's.
So I'm going to email her and tell her I have her sweater. I'll get it to you.
I just had
hi, Mary.
Hi, you guys. Mary? Hey, how are you doing? Good.
How many chairs did we need? With
three. Three. We took three in, yeah.
How did we take three chairs?
Yeah.
Nervous about this?
So Jim,
Oh, you are good.